Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Naked Sports Show. You didn't know I was going to do that, did you?
I did, Phil. Thanks very much.
A little bit more.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, no, it's gone quiet. It's gone very quiet.
Lay some of that pigeon on me, big boy.
Oh, so those eat. Anyway, that was Lieutenant Pigeon, the national anthem of banger racing. For those who are uninformed, we were up at the National Hot Rod World Finals and Speed Weekend at the weekend and had a fantastic time. Anyway, on with this week's show. Tonight, as ever, it's myself, Phil Pritchard, and the Vulture co-presenting the Naked Sports Show. And tonight's guest is Cycle Speedway, local Cycle Speedwayer, Lewis Osborne. Hi, Lewis.
Hello.
How are we?
Not too bad, thank you.
You're good. So, yes, Naked Sports Show at ICR. fm.co.uk. That's our email address. Please get in touch, drop us a line, or click via the link on the internet to email the studio now. So, action-packed show to get through tonight. As I say, we've got a million and one sports to cover this week, so Vulture, over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll be doing the Vulture's Adventure and the Toddler's Tip a little bit later. Lauren picked another non-runner, so well done, Lauren. Well done for that. And she's actually got a pound back on me. I've also had this piece of paper thrust into my hand by the management here at ICR FM Towers. And this is for anyone who likes a bit of theatre. It's a ticket giveaway. We have 20 tickets to give away for the Heritage Arts Company's performance of Where Soldiers Sleep at Langard for Felixstowe. Tickets are for tonight and for tomorrow, i.e. Wednesday and Thursday, for those of you who struggle with your days of the week. The performance starts at 8:30. It's down at Langard Hall, as we said. It's a new production by the Heritage Arts Company based on legends that have accumulated around the fort. If you want one of those tickets, and they are free, gratis and for nothing, please call 01473 418022. That's 01473 418022. Operators are standing by to take your call. So nothing to do with sport, but if you like your theatre, please give us a call. Thank you very much.
Right, that's the corporate plug bit done. So anyway, on to the sport. And the question that you always ask at this time of the week is, what sport have you been watching this week, Vulture?
Well, Phil, as you mentioned, we were at Foxhall, weren't we, on Sunday. And what a good day we had as well. I am not a motorsport fan by any means, but it was a really good day out, actually. Carl Baldley, flag-to-flag win in the Hot Rods, fantastic drive. No one was near him. I think he won by the Hot Rod version of a distance, really, didn't he?
He did indeed.
He absolutely dominated it. So well done to you, Carl. Carl, there's an invite to the show if you are listening. You're quite welcome on at any time you like.
Yes, by all means, get in touch. It was a flag-to-flag. He got a bit of luck. He got pulled out of the hat on pole position as they couldn't have the proper lap times for the grids on the Saturday morning, but he pulled pole out of the hat and he never looked back.
You make your own lucky sport, really, don't you?
Yeah, you do, and he's only going to turn around and say, "That's all right, lads. I'll start in sixth, give you all a chance." Is he? He's going to take any luck that comes his way, as would anyone else. So he got a bit of luck with that. There were a couple of stoppages, one or two bits of oil leaked on the track, and the yellow flags came out and bunched the grid up together, but every time it did, he just took off into the distance again, and fair play to him for that.
So, great performance. And we've got to give a mention to the banger racer who decided to have a shunt.
knock down Christmas fence.
There was the guy who knocked down Christmas fence. He actually drove straight over poor old Christmas fence. And there's also the guy who decided to actually hit a car that wasn't actually in the race. It was on the corner. And he decided to hit it, and he picked himself onto his roof and took himself out of the race.
It was quite a smart looking motor. I can't remember the exact model of it, but it was one that was struggling to start, never mind finish. And I think the driver decided enough was enough, popped out and watched the race from the sidelines. And we knew someone wasn't going to be able to resist, giving a good old whack on the way.
No, and they got what they deserved, really. And of course, honourable mention to the taxi. We love the taxi, didn't we? It was going about half the speed of everyone else and didn't take long at all.
No. And also, I mentioned to Nick Nels and Terry Newell, who were on the show last week, those of you who are listening, Nick's one of the presenters at Foxhall, and he gave ICR and ourselves a good mention over the weekend, so thanks very much, Nick, for that.
Yes, he did. He did get my name wrong. He got my real name wrong as well. Then he said Phil and Terry, but we'll let him off because he's such a nice chap.
Indeed.
Thanks for that plug, Nick. Very welcome.
And so there we are. But no, there's plenty of other sport been going on as well. Wimbledon obviously came to its natural conclusion at the weekend, and what a conclusion it was. Five sets, wasn't it, Nadal? Federer's first defeat at Wimbledon since 2002, am I right?
I believe it's 2002, yeah. I watched the later stages of the game thinking it was all over and Federer came back. It was a good, gripping sporting drama, wasn't it?
And, right, it was up there with the best.
Nadal was the best player there, I don't think, without a doubt. I think he was the rightful winner.
Yeah, I mean, I got back from Foxhall and switched the telly on fully expecting. I thought I might just catch the ends. I knew there'd been some rain delays, but we were treated to an episode of some of the finest sporting drama you'll see. Federer just every time, because they're now wasted four or five set points, match points, didn't he? But every time Federer's resolution to keep himself in the match was incredible, and it was high octane stuff as far as tennis goes, anyway. And also, we've got to give a mention to Laura Robson, the 14-year-old British, the Wimbledon. British Wimbledon Junior Champion for
indeed.
Girls.
Indeed, no pressure there.
No pressure, love, but no, you're now going to have our beloved media going into overdrive, I think.
Is that a great white hope for British tennis?
And they're making the argument is she was born in Australia and she left Australia when she was 18 months, moved to, I think it was Singapore or somewhere like that, and then moved over here when she was.
That's so why she's so good.
Does she count as a British player?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, she's learnt the game and been brought up on the English court, so surely that makes her a British.
And she actually said, didn't she? The Australian media interviewed her and they said, so do you have any connection with Australia where you were born? She said, no.
I think that's the end of that. She's British, she's ours.
Great. We're talking of Australia, Phil. Talking of Australia, and we'll bring our guest in here, Lewis. Lewis is a cycle speedway international, no less. Am I right in saying that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and tell the boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen what you're going to be doing in February next year.
I'm going to be a part of a squad of 10 riders that's travelling out to Adelaide in Australia in February to contest the Ashes series against Australia over 3 legs, I believe it is. I think last time when the event was held in 2005, Great Britain did actually win 3-0. So
excellent.
Hopefully we can repeat that.
So we're defending Ashes champions. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can repeat the trick in cricket next year. But no, on the cycle speedway front, I must admit, so far this summer, on all the sports that we've had on, I managed to wing it because I've known a little bit about all the sports we've discussed. I must admit, other than as far as I'm aware, it's a pedal version of the. Motorbikes.
That's right, yeah.
Am I right in saying no brakes, 4 in a race, 3 for first, 2 for second, 1 for third, and nothing for last?
The scoring's slightly different to the motorised version of Speedway, where in Cycle Speedway it's actually 4-3-2-1.
Oh, right, okay.
So you still get a point.
A point for turning up. That's
the
sort of sport I
like. Yeah, we like those. Yeah. So as long as you finish your race, you're
going to
get at least a point.
Yeah, but other than that, all the other rules are pretty much the same as the motorised version.
So is it, am I right in saying there's team events where yourself, how many are in a team then?
There's 8 in a team for most traditional cycle speedway matches.
Yeah, and there's two from each side into each heat, is that
right? That's
right,
yeah.
And how many heats constitute a match?
A normal cycle speedway match will consist of 18 heats.
Okay.
So each rider gets 5 programmed rides, with the reserves having 3 programmed rides.
Yeah, okay. Now, I must admit, actually, I did give it a go one summer on a play scheme up at Witten Sports Centre. I did quite enjoy it. And then one of my brother's mates fell off and took a load of teeth out, and after that, kind of put me off. So, is it quite big, Loki? I know there's a track at Great Lakeham, and I think I'm right in saying there's one at Kesgrave as well as Witten.
Yeah, that's right. There's also one at, like you say, Witten and also Somersham. So we've got 4 clubs in Ipswich.
They've Trimley got one as well, I'm wondering.
That's unfortunately shut down now.
Oh, they did have
one. But yeah, they do have a track there.
Right, okay. So does each one of those clubs ride against each other in a league then?
Yeah, we ride against each other in the local regional leagues, and also Great Blakenham are actually part of the British Premier League.
Oh right, so they ride against big league terms nationally, they're quite a big well up there.
Yeah, they ride against clubs from all over the UK, as far south as sort of Poole and Midlands clubs like Wensfield, Leicester, so quite a bit of travelling involved with that.
So you're a Premier League cycle speedway rider.
I am, yeah.
I don't think we had a Premier League anything, yeah. That's got to be a first. And an international, first international on the show. I think we're doing quite well, actually, with Lewis.
Well, thanks for coming on, Lewis. I've raised the profile of our show no end. So in terms of the national side, is that made up of representative riders from all of those clubs, then, as I guess a football team would be?
What you mean, the Great Blakenham Premier League side?
No, sorry, the British side who you're going out to Oz with.
Yes, that's made up from riders from throughout the UK. like I say, a squad of 10. So
yeah, good stuff. So the bikes themselves, then, how much would they cost as a rough ballpark figure?
Ballpark, probably in the region of sort of £400-£500 for a top line bike. I'm lucky enough to actually be sponsored by Archie Wilkinson in Birmingham.
So, good old Archie. Well done, Archie.
So I'll give him a mention then for his troubles. So good. So, and then the trip to the out for the Ashes, I guess, I mean, cycle speedways have a little bit more of a sideline of the sport, should we say, than say something like football or cricket.
Yeah.
So has a lot of the cost been met by sponsors and stuff?
Well, unfortunately it's all totally self-funding. I have been lucky enough to manage to obtain some sponsorship so far. Actually, a company called Oil Installer have actually given me £1,000, which is greatly appreciated. So if you are listening, which I doubt you are, thanks for that. But
millions, of course.
Yeah.
Give the sponsors a mention. Always good to give the sponsors a mention, just in case they are listening.
Yeah. But any further assistance would be greatly appreciated. So,
yeah, good stuff. I mean, if anyone out there is interested in sponsoring Lewis, obviously drop us a line on the email address, which he says, losing it, nakedsportshow@icrfm.co.uk, to myself and the Vulture, and we can certainly get in touch with Lewis to pass that on.
Yeah, we pass it on.
How did you get involved in the sport then, Lewis?
It was actually a come and try it day at my local club, Kesgrave. I was also obviously a fan of the motorised version. Saw an advert in a local magazine to come and give it a go, so I just went up there and it went from there, really.
Was that as a kid then, was it?
Yeah, I was 12 when I started. So I've been doing it 10 years now. So.
Yeah, good stuff. And never looked back then, I guess, from there?
No, it's sort of grown as you do. Started riding in sort of the local junior leagues, and as it's developed, you've gone up the events and to a lot of British events and whatnot.
Up in the ranks, and I guess there came a point in time when you realised you're actually quite good at this and took it a bit more seriously than just a schoolboy hobby then.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, to take it serious, you have to start training and putting time into it. It's been good.
So you're a fan of the motorised version as well, and do you get to watch the Witches much these days?
Yeah, I try and go up there every Thursday, although there hasn't been a lot of action up there lately. I do try and go up there.
Yeah, that's going to be my next point. As far as I read Mike Bacon's blog on the Evening Star website, and I think he's gone to great lengths to point out the fact going back in the old days, there used to be a meeting every single Thursday night. I mean,
yeah.
Now got to the stage you're lucky if there's one a month. The way the fixtures have panned out this season, it's incredible.
Ever so strange, the fixture list. I know the Grand Prix sometimes have a little bit to do with it, but the Witches went, I think they rode one home match in June.
And you can't blame them for being a bit rusty with that in mind. I think they got beaten at home to someone. I was on holiday at the time, so their team escaped them. And they beat Peterborough the day after Pete Simmons came on the show.
Yeah, they did.
And got a home victory, so hopefully that's got them back on track. But then as soon as they find any kind of form, they've got a 2-week break. But I am right in saying I believe they're riding at Poole tonight.
That's right.
Although, having seen the weather, you'd have a question mark or two whether that's going to happen. I'm just going to jump on the internet now and see if I can find out if it is on or not.
I would suggest if it's anything like it's been here, I would have thought that Poole is not an option this evening. Does the weather have some kind of effect on Sligo Speedway?
Yeah, it does. If torrential weather, the match stands a good chance of being postponed. Obviously it affects the surface,
yeah.
And also we start on a concrete grid, so if it's wet, then
a bit like ice, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot of slipping at the grid and loss of position from the gate, really.
Right. And is it a particularly dangerous sport? I mean, Phil mentioned someone that he knew actually losing teeth doing it. Is injuries quite a common thing?
I think injuries are common in any sport. Obviously, some of them serious, some of them not so, but
yeah.
I've managed to stay quite clear of injury so far, so hope that continues.
A few grazed knees, that kind of thing.
Yeah, nothing too serious so far, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're obviously quite well protected, I'm guessing. You've got, pads on the elbows and knees and helmets and that kind of thing.
Yeah, helmets and gloves are compulsory, and obviously you have to be covered from sort of shoulder down. You can wear knee pads and elbow pads if you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not compulsory.
And is there some kind of rules about exclusions and rider replacements and that you get in the motorised version? So, for example, if you bring somebody down, you can get excluded and same kind of thing?
Yeah, the rules are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So that first corner can be quite tight with the elbows then, can it?
That's right, yeah. Several times there. First first race might get re-ranted first bend bunching or something like that.
Yeah, again, I guess like you get in the motorised version, whoever makes it can make it to that first bend and make a first good first and make a good first and second bend and stand a chance for the rest of the race.
That's then. Right, yeah. So the first bend is all important.
Yeah, and I guess you could say as well with the cycle version, there's a lot more human input into it, whereas with the motorised version, there's an element of who's got the fastest bike or win. But with a cycle speedway bike, I'm all right in saying they're probably all pretty much of a fairly similar level. So it really is down to the individual strength and power and cycling ability.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's obviously keeping the pace up to four laps, a good start and technique, and is always important. Like you say, getting out of start is critical.
Yeah. Well, we're getting nowhere fast with this internet, so I think we'll give that a miss. Are you into other sports at all, Lewis? Football or cricket? Or
yeah, I go and watch Ipswich Town every now and again.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I'm keeping tabs of who they might be buying in.
Yeah, and the last I heard the rumour was that this Walters to Stoke rumour just won't go away, will it? I haven't been on the internet to see if there's any developments on it at all today. But you do get the impression that if we're going to sell him, it's not going to be for $1.5 million.
No.
And you might, and my mate John, if you're out there listening, is a massive Stoke fan, and he's been on my case for the last few weeks. And we're going to sign John Walters, we're going to do this, that, and the other. And I think he's under the Michel illusion that he's going to be signed as a striker, which, in fairness, I think last season proved his best position was probably right midfield. And they've already got Liam Lawrence as one of their best players at right midfield. So it does make you wonder.
And what does that say about the ambition of the club if they're going to start selling their best player?
Especially having all the chat that we've had for the last few months, we're no longer a selling club, sell a player if it's right. I mean, it does make no sense at all to sell someone like John Walters, arguably our best player last season, certainly for a fee for $1.5 million. If it is silly money, if it is £5 million, then yeah, maybe you could understand it. But
not for that amount, and not to that kind of club, to be honest, Stoke City, because as well as they've done to get in the Premiership, can't see them staying there.
No, exactly. You might as well stay with us for another season, because let's be honest, there's as much chance of us playing in the 2009-10 season as there is Stoke in the Premiership, if not more so.
Going back to the Cycle Speedway, Lewis and I were having a chat.
Oh, sorry. Breaking news. Tonight's match at Poole has been called off earlier this morning after heavy overnight rain in Doncaster. In Dorset. Heavy rain in Doncaster affects a match in Poole, I don't think.
Must be heavy rain. So no Speedway in Poole tonight.
No.
All our Poole listeners stay at home.
And all our Ipswich listeners. I hope you start travelling down there.
Yeah, you're going to go in the shallow end if you're riding there. No, Lewis and I were having a chat in the green room, as we like to call it, on the Nathan Smith show here. You're actually contesting the World Individual Cycle Speedway Championships while you're in Oz, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. I'll also be entering that. My brother's also going out. He rides Cycle Speedway as well, so he'll be entering that as well. I've entered the junior competition before, but never have I entered the senior one, so...
So you could, this time next year, you could conceivably be world champion?
Quite possibly.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone's got a chance, as you mentioned earlier. Where would you rank your chances of coming home with the title?
Well, I'm the current British number two, so...
The British number two? This gets better. British number two.
Who's number one, may I ask? Are you going to put some nails in front of him when he comes to the for next year, just under his tyres?
Well, I actually lost a runoff for the title last year at Ipswich. A guy called Lee Harris from a club in Wolverhampton, Wensfield Aces. So just getting back as current British number two, I think I like to think I've got a fairly good chance.
So where do Britain rate in the rankings of cycle speedway in the world then? Are there many countries that partake in the sport?
It's quite big over here. Also, it's big in Poland, and also
they love it. Bit of speedway, don't they, over there in
Poland? Yeah,
a bit of speedway. Yeah.
Some of the top sort of speedway matches over there, I'm told, average sort of attendance of sort of 500 to 1,000 people. So
really,
Lord, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a riot breaking out here at ICA. Be quiet, please, we're on the radio. We're trying to do serious broadcasting. Thank you very much.
Apologies if there's any background noise, but hopefully they'll soon disappear.
I'm hoping it's not those lesbians that invaded the 6 o'clock news all those years ago and decided to pick on us. Anyway, Phil, while we have this brief lull in the Cycle Speedway chat, should we do the Vultures Venture? Should we get it over with?
Is it good as time as any?
Yeah.
What's the latest scores?
Latest score? I am £1.99 up. mainly
up as in profit or up on the toddlers.
As in profit. The toddlers on Friday are £6 down. There's £7.99 difference between us. But mind you, the toddlers did claw a bit of back last week because the toddler tip didn't actually run, whereas mine did. It was winning, and there I was writing the victory speech, coming here saying, "Ah, Pritchard, I don't always back the favourite, you know. I do occasionally back a not favourite, and it wins." And just as I was planning this victory speech, three other horses ran past it, and Campanologist came forth. So out of the money there. This week's race is the 320 at York, I believe.
The 350.
350 at York. Oh well, there's probably a better horse running than the 320.
And the ones that you normally pick are probably starting the 320 and finish the 350.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there's the old joke in here. I backed the horse at 25-1 and finished at 4:30. Thank you, Tommy Cooper. It did not say finish late, had to tiptoe back to the stables. Thank you. Anyway, back to the plot. I've gone for a horse called Gullwing. Now, why have I gone for a horse called Gullwing? It came fifth last time out. It got beaten out of sight by four other horses. It came fifth of five. But it did win its other two races before that. It's got one on the board. Plus, the main reason is that a few weeks ago here at icrfm.co.uk Towers, the station commandant, Nick, actually took me up to the roof because he's got breeding lesser black-backed gulls on the roof. So I thought, Gullwing, gulls on the roof, let's back it. To be honest, I thought that form and all that kind of stuff hasn't got me very far. Let's just go for a bit of I like the name. what about Laura, Mr. Pritchard? What's she got for?
She's gone for a winged theme as well. She's gone for a horse called Wing Collar.
Wing Collar. So Gullwing, Wing Collar.
Yeah, there's plenty of horses in that race as well. There's a couple of thousands. Yeah.
I think there's going to be a few drop out before Saturday. This is the problem we have, having a tip a horse so far in advance. We do get the occasional non-runner. But of course, non-runner, no bet. And if your horse does run and comes nowhere, you lose your pound. So that's one thing. Picking the non-runners could well be a tactic. I was thinking, Phil, next year, if the show gets recommissioned, if we ask very nicely and we get asked back to do this again next year, I think it should be the Vulture's Venture versus the Pritchard Punt. Me versus you.
What did you call me?
Pritchard Punt, Phil.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, should we rename that the Pritchard Pound? Just to be on the safe side.
we don't want any slips of the tongue, really.
We don't want to be thrown off air either. So me versus you, Phil, next year. You up for that?
Yep.
Alright, £10 on the side?
Yeah.
Make it interesting?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, right, ladies and gentlemen, the stakes have been raised.
Yeah.
So that's it, the Vulture's Venture and the Pritchard Pound for another week, as it will be next year. But the toddlers' tips, they've got to see the season out. And then we're going to quietly give them the sound.
Let's say happy birthday to Lauren. Actually, it's her birthday tomorrow, so I hope she has a nice day, and hopefully she'll cap her birthday with the first win in the season.
With the first win, and happy birthday, Lauren, yeah. And she'll be three, won't she?
She will indeed.
She'll be the best three-year-old tipster we ever had on the show, I think.
Yeah. She will. Mm. So, packed week of sport anyway this week. Cricket still in the headlines, both the domestic and the international game. We start with the domestic, as local as you get to a first-class side for Suffolk, Essex. Growing great guns in the one-day Formula game in the 2020s finals day, semi-final and final up and down at the Rose Bowl in Hampshire on the 26th of July, and also through to the Friends Provident 40-day final.
It's all happening down at Essex, isn't it? I mean, we had a fantastic night out when we went, didn't we?
Absolutely.
That historic night of Graham Napier's 152, which will live long in memory.
And he's at it again. He got them through. I think he chipped in with a half century in the Friends Provident semi-final on Saturday. And he got a blasted 40 off 20 balls on Monday night in the quarterfinals of the 2020. So, and he took four wickets, which absolutely swung the game. Essex 6-4. They posted another huge total in the first innings, 190, I think it was this time, and then skittled. Who are they playing? Northants Steelbacks out for around about 130, I think. I didn't see the final score because Essex got them down to 11 for 4 or something. I thought, well, that's it, game over, and switched the telly off.
And it also came down to Duckworth Lewis, didn't it? Which I don't think anyone understands. I don't think Mr. Duckworth and Mr. Lewis understand it.
Well, I think in fairness, this time Essex got 192 off 20 overs, so they literally just took 9 overs off for each run took 18 runs off and set Northants their total, which is as pro-rated as equally as you can get. So they won it fair and square.
And we've got the test done tomorrow,
we have. I'm just reading on the BBC website, England have named the sport cricket. It's a historic... here we go. England have made Test match history by naming an unchanged 11 for the sixth successive time.
Well, there you go.
Ahead of Thursday's opening match against South Africa. So no Flintoff back in the fold, not just yet anyway. I think he's back in the squad, but he's not in the starting 11 by the looks of it. South Africa's main dilemma is whether to play Paul Harris or include Andre Nel in an all-pace attack. So I guess they'll see what the pitch is like to do. But yeah, I think South Africa's going to be a bit of a testing challenge for us.
Will be a test match, yeah. by the way, Mr. Pete, I'm wondering what you say. We had an email in the week, didn't we? We actually did have an email in the week from about Lieutenant Pigeon, because you did kick off.
Yes, we did.
With the mighty Lieutenant. I read it briefly earlier. What was said about the Lieutenant on the
right? I haven't actually read the email. Let me
From what it was a guy called Crispin Sanderson. Thank you, Crispin, for emailing in. Some interesting Lieutenant Pigeon facts.
Of which I'm sure there's hundreds.
Number one for 4 weeks in 1972, in October 1972, and it's actually behind some military version of Amazing Grace, the second best-selling single of 1972. And the Woodwards, it was Rob Woodward and his mother Hilda, are still the only mother and son ever to have a number one hit on the same record. So,
is this where I make a joke about Norfolk?
You did last week, and you nearly got fired as well. I think Lewis, if you could stay for another few weeks, we might have to train you up, because Phil's going to get us thrown off. So back to Lewis, when do you leave for us?
Beginning of February next year. I think it's February 5th, I believe.
Yeah, have you been there before?
I haven't, no.
No?
Oh, looking forward to it.
Are you going to get a chance to do any sightseeing while you're down there, or is it all going to be competition and...
I think the racing's pretty much at night, so yeah. During the day I guess we had a chance to look around.
Have a look around Adelaide. There is a chance of a lifetime, really. I mean, for any sportsman, not only to represent your country abroad, especially someone like Australia. There's, all hats off to you.
Yeah,
fair play indeed. I think, I must admit, if it was me, I was going over, I'd take part in the sporting event and then maybe extend the flight back by a couple of weeks. Are you planning to do that, do you think? Have a look around while you're down there?
Like I say, I'm hoping to have a look around while I'm down there, but I doubt I will be extending the holiday.
I guess your work being kind of very flexible and understanding about the fact you're going to be away for so many weeks?
Or? They are, yeah, so thanks very much to them.
Do you want to give a mention?
Yeah, Oftech in Ipswich, with the Oil Firing Technical Association. So.
Yeah, fair play to them.
Well done to them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in all firms who have sportsmen who compete in a sport such as cycle speedway, I guess, where you're at the height of at the top of the game, and it's not one of the big sort of big name sports where you can make a living out of it, and it does depend on the goodwill of the employers to do that, or either that or you run your own business, I guess, and you can set your own agenda. But
yeah.
I mean, it's goodwill and understanding from firms such as that who let their employees partake in these activities.
So, Lewis, do you want to? You have the chair here. Do you want to make one final plea for anyone who's after some sponsorship to get in touch?
Yeah, if you can help out, then please get in touch. It'll be greatly appreciated. And
get in touch with us here at ICRFM. If you want to sponsor Lewis, please get in touch with us here at ICRFM. We'll pass your details on. Well worth supporting the local sporting hero who is going to be flying the flag down under for the UK against the Aussies, and we love beating the Aussies. If it's the Aussies, we love beating them.
Yeah, there's something about an England Australia clash in any sport that always brings out the best, doesn't it?
Yeah. So beginning of February, then how long are you out there for? You say 4 weeks?
Best part of four weeks. Return early March.
Early March. Well, best of luck anyway.
Thank you.
And promise us one thing: if you win the World Championship, you come back and see us next year.
I definitely will. Yeah.
So, thanks very much, Lewis.
Yeah.
Are the other guys coming? Or is it a recorded show on after us tonight?
No. They're on their way in. It gives me a chance to do the plug again. Like I say, ICRFM have asked me to read the following statement: ticket giveaway. We have 20 tickets to give away for the Heritage Arts Company's performance of Where Soldiers Sleep at Langard Fort Felixstowe. Tickets are for tonight and tomorrow, brackets Wednesday and Thursday, close brackets. The performance starts at 8:30. This is a new production by the Heritage Arts Company based on legends that have accumulated around the fort. If you're interested, operators are waiting to take your call now on 01473 418 022. 01473 418 022. At a cost to you of absolutely none of the Queen's pounds. Message end. Thank you very much.
You nearly got through that flawlessly. More flawlessly than I certainly would have done anyway. So anyway, that wraps it up for this week. Thanks very much to everyone for listening. Thanks very much, Lewis, for coming on.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks, Ultra, for being here and being yourself.
Yeah, same time next week then.
Same time next week.
Excellent.
And we'll leave you with another blast of the Lieutenant, shall we?
Bye.
Oh dear. There he goes. That's enough of him. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week.